Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, everbeyondradio.com, Tiernasau from Ireland, Scottish Sovereigns on the Land.ning.com. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond.
Good day, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. It's the 28th of June, 2015. Yes, indeed, as Nancy said, where did that year go? We're over halfway. hurtling down through the corridors of time. This is Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio on... Let me just join them up. Joining up the dots on... Yes, there we go. Now, what was it? People2people, I think, .net. And Tiernasau from Ireland. It used to be Scottish Sovereigns, but I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called people4people.com. Anyway, hello, everybody. I've just connected the two radio streams there, as well as the Wolf Spirit Radio and Never Be On Radio. And so, welcome, everybody. This is... it's been a nice day. Finally, summer in Scotland is a very short-lived affair. It's kind of like the lifetime of a mayfly, but faster. We get all four seasons in one day, and like there's a little bit that is called summer. It exists sometime in the middle of June. Sometimes we get a nice day in July, and... we got this weird stuff. It's called gorse. It's thorns and flowers. And the flowers are beautiful, bright orange. Really happy, jolly things. And my girlfriend Nikki has discovered that you can eat them. And they're antidepressant, because they're sort of jolly. And they flower all year round, more or less. You know, they're always in flower. Which for a thorny bush is pretty much of a, it's an exceptional thing. So anyway, that's the kind of flora we have here. It's got, everything's got thorns, most things hurt if you fall over. It can be, so you've got to stay upright in Scotland, even though the wind is blowing at 180 miles an hour. I exaggerate, it's 160. So, tonight, my guest, I'm laughing at my jokes, you don't have to, but my guest tonight is, as I was saying just there, my aforementioned girlfriend got accidentally heard you being interviewed, as opposed to my show, which she should have been listening to last week, because I had the... I had the relay on wrong, and I was relaying station A instead of station B, and long story. But anyway, so she thought, there's serendipity. You should get her on the show. So today I welcome Electra Mary. Mary, Electra, good Mary afternoon. Electra, yes. Which one? Mary Electra.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, let's just bring you up. You've got something very close. It's like close to your jacket, your microphone close to your jacket. I can adjust the volume here because I have the equipment. So that's fine. You're sounding perfect. So okay. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon to you. Actually, it's your evening there. And you didn't discourage me. I still want to come to Scotland.
I haven't even spoken about the blood-sucking, invisible vampire micro-nano creatures called midges. I haven't mentioned them yet. I talk about them all the time. Actually, it's been a good year for midges because the wind has been 160 miles an hour. They don't like the wind. So, you see, the thing about a Scottish summer is as soon as the sun comes out, the midges start breeding, right? And they're like bloodsuck. They like blood. And there's not many people. And we're much easier than cows. You know, cows, they have to drill hard. But we're so much easier. We're just like paper. And so... and they can smell, you know, you can smell our blood from miles away. And they just love it. And they swarm. Midges come in swarms. It's the scariest thing. They're like, they get in everywhere. And if you go over to the West Coast, which everybody needs to experience once in their life, to be swarmed by midges in midsummer is an experience. It's like one of those Room 101 things that you think, oh, God, I'll never want to go and do that again. But it was... the scenery was amazing.
I don't know what those are, though.
You see them, you'll call them no-see-ums, I believe.
They're like little black, like little fly. They're not flies, but they're little.
They're like a micro, a nano version of a mosquito. Imagine if you scaled a mosquito right down and kind of weaponized it a bit more efficiently.
You know, they're kind of like what they have in New Zealand that you have to wear. Actually, in New Zealand, it's so bad, you have to wear those hats with a net on your face.
Yeah, that's about right. That's the midgie. Yeah, we have things like that. And probably in New Zealand, the midgies are sort of the scaled-up version of the scaled-down weaponized version, as opposed to the, you know, so the more or less almost benign mosquito.
Anyway. I have to tell you that they love me. There's some sweetness to my blood that they just suss out. They just really come for me. So I have to do all sorts of things to keep myself from being bitten.
I have discovered that since not eating so much sugar, I don't get bitten so much.
Well, I was off of sugar for 7 years, and they still loved me. Since I've been a little kid, I used to have to wear stuff like around my neck because mosquitoes just love me, and sometimes I have little reactions or big reactions to them. Anyhow, but they, for some reason, I guess I'm just sweet, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but, no, you get this weird little... When the midgie bite matures, it's a whole process. It takes several days. It swells up like a big pig, you know. And then,
really?
Then it forms this little orange crystal on the end of it. And then it kind of eventually it leaves an open sore for a couple of weeks. And then eventually it'll scar over. No. I'm exaggerating a little bit. But that's what it feels like. But it does leave this weird little stuff behind, which is some kind of reaction between my blood and the midge's thing that says, get out of my body, please. So, yeah. But anyway, let's not talk about blood-sucking vampire creatures because we've got much better things to talk about.
Sure.
Tom Kenyon, the Hathors, all these people... Tom Kenyon's been mentioned twice today, so it's very interesting. So, good afternoon, Mary Electra, and welcome to Ever Beyond, and welcome to Wolf Spirit Radio. I'm sure you'll have a nice time. We're all sat around the campfire. There's a couple of drunks over there, but you know we'll try and keep them away from the fire. We got some dogs, and so here we are, and we're very happy for you to come and share your experiences.
I am absolutely delighted to be on your show, and there is no accident, you know, so I'm sure Nikki was supposed to hear that that piece of material when I was on the radio show with Lorian. I think it's on the same station you're on.
Lorian Fenton.
Yes.
Fenton.
She's wonderful. And then the fact that Tom Kenyon was mentioned twice today, I doubt seriously if that's an accident. What context was he mentioned in? I'm curious.
Who was it? Was it was the show just the show earlier, and I read it somewhere on a Facebook post. You know, sort of. Anyway, so let's just kind of start where we were now. Let me, I did take some notes. We were discussing, so where we'd like to go from, and well, where would you like to depart? How we're here at the port. Which direction and vector are we headed in?
I don't know if your audience knows me. I might be having a feedback. Do I need to turn my sound down?
No, it's okay. It's just that when my mic is open, then you will echo back until I turn it down. I see.
Okay.
It's okay. It's just coming through loud. So anyway, where should we go?
I'm not certain that your audience is familiar with me. I do sound healing, and Tom Kenyon was my mentor, and when my body was prepared to bring the frequencies through, I happened to be at a workshop in Hawaii with Tom Kenyon. We were doing a workshop in a dolphin swim there, and I was going out to the hot tubs every night, and these beings, and I hope I'm not getting too far out for your audience since I don't know them, but I'm sure they'll be okay with all this. There were beings in the sky who were communicating with me and working with me, and they were in a pattern of the Kabbalah Tree of Life, the 12-pointed Kabbalah Tree of Life, not the 10-pointed one. And they were communicating, and I knew, Jay, that I understood them somewhere in my memory bank of wisdom, that their communication was familiar. I just couldn't articulate it in this dimension, but I was familiar with it. And I knew they were preparing and healing me for what was to come. I got that very clearly. And it was interesting because the lights, there were like these 12 lights in the shape of the Kabbalah Tree of Life, and the lights would pulsate and blink, and they would pulsate to communicate, and then they'd blink, and a laser would shoot out of the light and go to another light, and then it would start to pulsate, and that was the communication, or they were working with different aspects of me, I guess. And then it would blink, and the laser would shoot out from that light and go to the other light. It was just phenomenal. And they had me out there every night I was in Hawaii. And they were working with me for 2 or 3 hours a night. So I've been told by some pretty interesting sources that what they were doing was reconfiguring my throat chakra and my vocal cords and my lung, to be able to bring in the frequencies that were from other dimensional realms.
So, other dimensional realms, any specific dimensional realms?
I don't know. I've been told that it was the Pleiades that were working with me that night. I have a very strong connection to Sirius, and I know that. I always get a sense that they're from dimensions I haven't heard of before. That hasn't been heard of here yet.
we're debating in the chat room how far out, because you said, you know, I don't know, and we dig far out. They're saying too far up for Wall Spirit Radio. No, never too far out.
Well, since I'm that familiar with your audience, I don't think anything that I talk about is far out. I think it's pretty, you know, meat and potatoes, but everybody's different. Today I was talking, I do Airbnb, and I have this just adorable couple from Finland here. And they were talking to me, and we were talking about what I do. And it was very foreign to them, what I do, so it was like way out for them. So you never know where people are. So.
Exactly, because, you know, people often surprise me at how what they believe is so, you know, it's like I realize how far I've come sometimes when I meet people.
Yes.
As to previously what I would relate to them as being a completely fixed, normal, regular idea of the reality of something, and my current knowledge that, wow, you've got no idea. You just got no idea. And this is the thing, you know, you always see these programs like The X-Files, and there's a guy who's in the next level up, and he looks down at the guy and says, you have no idea. You know, it's like in the MIB, and Will Smith gets this speech from, oh God, what's his name? I can't remember the other guy, the old guy. It'll come to me, because I'm getting old. He was saying, you know, one day ago, you know, 500 years ago, people thought the Earth was flat. Actually, 2 weeks ago, people thought the Earth was flat, and I unfriended them from Facebook. But the last, and yesterday, your worldview was completely different from it is today. Think what it could be tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's how we live here on Wall Street Radio. It just gets bizarre. I mean, we started out bizarre. We started out in the super soldier military abduction twilight zone of black operations. And, you know, did these people really exist in their military service? You know, it was that weird. And here we are. And that's normal, and everybody knows what black ops are now, and everybody knows what the secret space programs are now. You know, it's all coming out. It's great. And you know, things that we were almost apologizing for 5 years ago, 2 years ago, it's like, oh yeah, everybody knows that. Wow.
Yes.
You know? And you don't even get a chance to say, I told you so. And people don't even come up to you in the street saying, hey, JP, you were right about that. Actually, some people have, and I thank you and appreciate that, because you know, some people have actually said, you know, you've been talking about this for 5 years, and you're absolutely right. And everybody, you know, as you do, you in your local area, you were never believed.
Well, I people haven't quite, they haven't quite moved into the level of sound work that I do. It's, I've been waiting. I mean, I've been playing at this since 1997. I was reconfigured in 1995 to bring in the frequencies. I started toning in 1997. I went to Egypt in 1999, where they were downloaded me with the frequencies that Earth would now be ready to receive, because Earth actually, the density of the planet wouldn't receive the frequencies that I was being prepared for. But in 1999, when we came into this new millennium, they downloaded these frequencies that Earth was now ready to receive. And I've been playing around with sound since 2000, and it's just now starting to catch on. What I'm doing is just now starting to be acknowledged and recognized. But people have been doing sound healing, please don't get me wrong. It's just the kind of work that I'm doing, people just, it's so subtle and so, you know, that people just really weren't getting it. And now they're starting, when they hear it, to hear it differently and receive it differently. It's interesting to me. It's actually quite, I've waited a long time for this time, so it's kind of nice that I hung in there, you know, Jay, I hung in there. So it's kind of nice for people to be receiving it. In my lifetime, I've kind of always been a little bit ahead of everything, so it's kind of okay that all this is happening, but I didn't realize how interdimensional I actually was as a being. And because I always think when I'm seeing something, you know, I have a lot of interdimensional experiences. So I see things and they look like they're right there in front of me. I mean, they look so real and everything. And I'll just to give you a little story, I was traveling, I was married, and we were in a camper van, and we were in Utah at the Valley of the Gods. And we were on this zigzag road And I looked back down and I saw what looked like a pyramid that was made of natural material, but the reddest color of ochre you've ever, I mean, it was just brilliant chimney red color, and it looked just like the pyramids in Egypt. And I turned to my husband and I said, oh my God, we have to stop. I have to look at this. And I don't take pictures, so I didn't take a picture of it at all. And I was sitting there and I was toning to it. I was doing the sound with it. And for half an hour, I just was gushing about how could this be there and how could nobody tell me about it and how could nobody be talking about this amazing thing that's sitting there right in front of me. So we ended up having to go because I had a conference I had to get to, so we couldn't sit there and linger much longer. And I started telling everybody about this pyramid at the Valley of the Gods in Utah that everybody had to go. And several years later, I got divorced and I was taking a trip with another friend. We were going to a workshop in Durango, Colorado, and I said, we have to go to the Valley of the Gods. You have to see this pyramid. And we drove there, Jay, and it's just a hill in the middle of this vast parcel of land. It's all flat except for this hill. And so I know I went through a dimension and I saw the pyramid that actually exists there in another dimension. But in this dimension, it's a hill, a red hill. It's not.
But it's a hill that's sticking out of the ground where you wouldn't expect a hill to stick out of the ground.
Yeah, but you're actually right. It is a hill that's sticking out of the ground where you wouldn't expect a hill to be because it's all flat. It looks like this ocean of land with this big island sticking up out of it. And I took a picture of it this time. I mean, I didn't take a picture the last time. I probably would have seen that it was just a hill and that I was, like, being interdimensional again. But I didn't. And I swear I told everybody. I think people must have thought I was crazy because I just went on and on about this pyramid that looked just like the pyramids in Egypt. And why isn't everybody talking about it? Why aren't people going there? It never dawned on me that I was seeing into another dimension until I went back there 3 or 4 years later and realized, oh my God, there was never a pyramid here. I mean, there is. I mean, I know there is, but not to most people's vision. They'd see a hill in this vast, sea of land. So I've learned that I have to kind of be careful because when I'm looking out there and I'm seeing things, I might not be seeing what everybody else is seeing.
Well, yeah, I mean, I experienced that with Nikki. She's like seeing all this stuff and talking to all this stuff, and I was saying, I can't see anything. Who are you? So what are you telling? What are they telling you? She doesn't tell me. She's all right. Okay. Exasperating can that be? You know, imagine.
It happens.
It's like having somebody on the phone when you're talking to them. Actually, that's normal these days, isn't it? That's like normal. I shouldn't expect anything more. Yeah. Maybe you should just be on Facebook half the time. That'll do it. That's the same. That's the technological version, you know. So. Anyway, meanwhile, back to attention.
It's interesting to be on this side of the fence because I'm always editing myself to see whether or not, okay, is this what people are seeing? Or anyway, so it's fun. It's a kind of interesting thing.
So, no, it's interesting. You know, you talk about Utah. Utah, to me, is an enormous valley. I went there in 97, 98 or something. Ran away from Mormon groups. That was what we did most of the time, running away. It was like an episode of the X-Files or something weird. Or the polygamy files, the P-Files. Anyway.
The wrong place.
It's a long story. Long story. Very long story.
Yes,
Meanwhile, but I did see that Utah is this enormous valley. And the thing is that the valley fills up with silt over the years. You know, eventually the river trickles away. And the valley fills up with silt. And that becomes the land. So what was at the bottom of the valley maybe 10, 15,000 years ago will have filled up with silt. And maybe all you see is an impression of the top of it. And that would be your hill.
I definitely know there's a pyramid there. I definitely know that underneath that landmass that has formed, there is a pyramid that's been... that land has filled in. You know, it's a site. I know that in my heart of hearts. I know that. And speaking of Utah, you know, the valley, it's not, this area is not named the Valley of the Gods for no reason. The indigenous people knew exactly that the gods had been there. And that, because if you go to Monument Valley, which is just about, maybe 40 miles southwest of there, or southeast. I'd have to look at a map now to tell you which way for real. But the Monument Valley is there, and that is the most surreal energy. And then right across the border in Arizona is the Canyon de Chelly, which, again, is just this phenomenal mass of amazing beauty. And then Utah also has Zion. It has
I've been to Mount Zion. I mean, to me, whenever I hear those Zion, it's like reggae. I was there, and I went to this this mountaintop that they'd carved a road all the way up to the top and back down again. Where you're at the top, you can see right across the Rockies, and it was just like mountains as far as the eye can see. That was one of the most incredible high points of the visit, you know, literally high point. But I mean, that was pretty breathtaking.
And the Grand Canyon, the north rim of the Grand Canyon, which is, you know, if you ever have a chance to go to the north rim of the Grand Canyon, most people visit the south rim, which is in Arizona, but the north rim is in Utah. A part of it's in Utah, and it is phenomenal, and it's a lot less traveled, so it's more raw, and it's just amazing. I had a job I was working at there, and I was there for 6 months in St. George, Utah, which is down in the southern end of Utah. And I would write to all my friends. This was before computers that I was there. So I would be writing cards and letters to my friends saying, God created this masterpiece and he hid it in Utah. Because there's Zion, there's, what's that other, I can't remember it now, but it looks like fairy tale castles in the air. You know, you go there and it's pink and it's just gorgeous. I can't think of the name of the park now. And then there's the most amazing mineral bath waters there at Potempe, which is right at the base of Zion. And that's an incredible place if anybody ever has a chance to go see it. And then Monument Valley, and then it's just amazing there. Just amazing. But when I went to Monument Valley, that is where the gods, that's where they seeded Earth here, I believe. That was the area that the beings came down in. And that's, they have these amazing structures of rocks. And I was in New Zealand. I don't mean to be bouncing around, but I've had a lot of really interesting encounters. I met a man named Barry Brailsford in New Zealand. And I was actually deported into New Zealand, so Spirit really wanted me in New Zealand. And so I was in New Zealand.
Oh yeah, come on. You can't do that. You can't do that. Come on. You were in Australia. Why did you go to Australia? What was your premise for going to Australia?
My draw for Australia was I was, there was a major astrological event occurring in my chart, December 31st of 1999. I happened to have a Chiron ascendant conjunction in Sagittarius in my chart. And in 1999, transiting Pluto and transiting Chiron were conjuncting my ascendant and my natal ascendant and Chiron, which is major. And this conjunction does not happen. It's an anomaly. It happens, if it happens once in a lifetime, you're lucky. It happens, I think, every 89 years or every 99 years or something. It happens once in a century is all that happens. And so for it to happen on my, to for it to be conjuncting my natal Chiron and ascendant was pretty phenomenal. So I decided that I wanted to go on a journey to where the sun was going to rise for the first time in the millennium, which would be, at that time I thought it was Australia, because I really didn't realize New Zealand was there, or I didn't know that much about New Zealand, and I didn't know that that's really where the sun was going to rise the first time, was on the continent of New Zealand. So anyway, I was going to Australia, and I had met some people there in September when I had been there for a conference, and they invited me to come and take care of their booths where they were going to have their massage tables and massage chairs, because that's what I do, massage with my hands, body work with my hands. And they were going to let me man their booths because they didn't have enough people, and they would pay for the booth, and then if I wanted to do some massage, I could do it. So I made a little sign up and brought a sign saying $1 a minute for massage, and I had clothes for 2 months, and I rented a camping van, so I had to have sheets and, you know, everything. I had to have everything with me. So I had quite a bit of stuff, actually. So I went through customs, and they found this sign, $1 a minute. So they took everything out of my luggage and found paperwork for some of these festivals that I was going to do. And they detained me. And they asked me if I had a work permit. And of course, I didn't. And so they put me in a room for about 12 hours while they were deciding whether or not I would be deported. And I sat there and I said, okay. I just knew I had to surrender to this, and it was.
Or you could have given them a fiver or something.
And I just knew that God had its hands in all this. You know, that there was some other destiny for me that was going to be transpiring. And so I sat there, and I left California on December 21st, which is the solstice, and of course there's a 18 hour difference between here and, I think, Australia. So I arrived in Australia, I think, on the 23rd, and I was detained until the late evening of the 23rd, and I arrived, they did deport me, and they deported me to Auckland, New Zealand. And I arrived in Auckland at 2 a.m. on the 24th, Christmas Eve. And so I didn't have anything. I didn't have any hotel books. I didn't know anybody there. But I knew I wasn't going to fly all the way around the world and go right back home again. So I decided I was going to stay at least until New Year's and experience my Chiron return there. So I got a bus or cab or something to a hotel near the airport, spent the night, and the next day I looked in the Yellow Pages for metaphysical bookstores, astrologers, and I got phone numbers, and then I went downtown. I took a bus downtown, and I went to an internet place, and then found out that I didn't have any of my internet contacts, so I couldn't contact anybody. Because I didn't know how to access, because I didn't have Google or, you know, I didn't have Gmail or anything. I had my friend gave me an email address on his service and stuff. So I didn't know how to access it. So I didn't know how to access any of my contacts. I didn't know how to get a hold of anybody except by telephone and phone numbers that I had. And so I went to this metaphysical bookstore and looked up things to do in New Zealand for Christmas and New Year's. And there was this retreat center in Taupo that they were going to be doing a New Year's Eve event. So I took down the information for that. And then I called an astrologer, and he recommended to go to Taupo as well. So I went and I called this retreat center, and I told them what had happened, and I asked them if they had any events going on and could I get there. And they said, well, it was a drive that I'd have to rent a car. There was no way to get there except to rent a car. And of course, all the cars the night before, they didn't have any rental cars available when I flew in to the airport, so I didn't know how I was going to rent a car, but I knew something would happen. And then they gave me a name of an expatriate that was living in New Zealand and said, call him because he would be able to help me. And he was connected with the metaphysical community in New Zealand, in Auckland. So I got back to my hotel. I called him. First of all, I found a rent-a-rack. They had this place where they did a rent-a-rack.
That's my kind of hire company.
Yes. And it was two blocks away from where the internet cafe or internet place
cheap
was.
And close. That's making points all the time.
It was just amazing. And they had one car. That's it. And they said, if you're not here in 45 minutes, it's going to be gone. So if you get here in 45 minutes, we'll save it for you. So I got my little rear end over there, and I booked that car. But I had at that point never driven on the other side of the road before. And they drive on the other side of the road like they do in Scotland. And in America, we don't drive on that side of the road. So I was kind of like unsure about driving, and it was Christmas Eve, and everybody was leaving. It was like about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and not that they have that much traffic in Auckland, but still, I didn't want to get on a freeway or on their freeways or their what we call freeways here in the United States. I didn't want to get on one of those major thoroughfares to get anywhere. I wanted to go on side streets. So this sweet little guy behind the counter helped me write out directions to get to where my hotel was, where I didn't have to get on the freeway. So I left, and I thought I was doing everything that he told me to do, and I ended up on the freeway. I was like, oh God, I really have to surrender here and just kind of trust that I'm going to be okay, because I didn't have directions from the freeway to get to my hotel. No clue as to where I was. But I saw a name of a thing, and I got to the hotel, and I got a hold of this fellow that was an expatriate, and he said, well, you're coming over to my friend's house for Christmas dinner tomorrow, and you bring your suitcase because I think she's going to ask you to stay with her, and you're going to just be okay. We're going to make sure everything's okay. And I was a little skeptical about, you know, just landing on somebody's front door and saying, take me in. And he said, well, you can always go to a hotel if she doesn't take you in, but bring everything with you. So I did, and I had the best 2 months of my life. It was like New Zealand just opened its arms and said, we're here for you. This is where you're meant to be. We love you. We want you. And you are a part of us now. And I had the most amazing journey. And when I was standing there, it was right before New Year's, and you know, the first sunrise was going to come up over New Zealand. And so CNN was doing this big production with the Maori people. And the Maoris have this ceremony they do on the first of every year, on the first day of every year, that they had never included any white person in. It was just their own ceremony, and outsiders had never been invited to participate, but this year they were doing the ceremony for CNN, and they were teaching the other citizens of Auckland and New Zealand who wanted to participate, they were teaching them about the rituals of what they did, because what they did, this dance to bring in the canoes for the new year. And so they were teaching us how to do the dance. And I wasn't going to go to that because I was invited to go out to the bush, and we were going to bring in the New Year's out in the forest with this other group of people that I was staying with. But her neighbor invited me to go to one of these practices and learn what the communication was and the movements and stuff. And when I was standing there, Jay, this wave of purple energy just flooded over me. And I realized that the northern part of New Zealand, the North Island of New Zealand, was Lemurian in nature. And it had this beautiful violet ray of energy. And I looked out at the Maori gentleman, the guy that was teaching us to do this thing, and I saw this flash of anger and energy around him, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is kind of like the Native Americans in our country who were very angry at the white people for coming and taking their land. The Maoris had that same kind of energy. And then all of a sudden I started seeing the people before the Maori, which they call the Waitaha, and the Maoris came, and they actually were cannibalistic, and they wanted to embody the spirits of these Waitaha, and so they cannibalized them. So if there are any Waitahas, they're few and far between. I think there was one grandmother Waitaha that had survived all this time living in the North Island, in the South Island of New Zealand. So anyhow, I'm looking at this, and all these visions are kind of flowing through me, and all of a sudden I realized that the North Island was Lemurian, and the South Island of New Zealand was Atlantean. And I realized that we were coming into the 21st century, but it was the year 2000, and we would be in the year of twos for another 100 years. Everything was going to start with the two, which is all about unity and union and forming union, and all about learning about the polarity of the the earth is, this planet is based on polarity. There's light and dark, sun, moon, the tides. It's all about polarities, and within each being is a polarity of male-female energy. There's just a polarity that exists. And that polarity needs to find a place of union with itself instead of separation. And New Zealand is the archetype of that union. And that's why I was there. Because New Zealand has learned to bring the heart and mind together, and they have formed a union by bringing two islands, North South Island, together as one and still individualized, and they live in harmony. And they're the archetype of that energy of two. And I was there to embody and embrace that and to learn that so that I could share that with other people. And that's why Spirit took me to New Zealand. And so I had this amazing journey while I was there, and while I was there I met this gentleman who happens to be a very ancient being. He's got tremendous connections to the ancient ones, and he's an anthropologist, I believe he was a professor, and he had written many books, and I was reading his books, and he had written a book called The Song of the Waitaha. And part of my journey there was to really explore the frequencies of the Waitaha, because that was the Lemurian energy that had existed in New Zealand, and they were very heart-based. It was a very heart-based civilization, and that's when the Maori came. They wanted to embody that heart-based consciousness, and the only way they knew how to embody the spirit was to eat the bodies, and so they cannibalized the people. So I was exploring that whole consciousness of that, and then the way that the two energies of the Lemurian and Atlantean energies had merged to form this harmony, and that is what has happened in New Zealand with the North and South Island. And so I met this man, Barry Brousseau. I went to his house. He wouldn't do this in America, but we found out where he lived. Somebody knew where he lived, and we drove up to his house and knocked on his door, and he took us in like we had known each other for thousands and thousands of years. And we had this wonderful talk, and he sent us to this area that was like right by his house called the Birthplace of the Gods. And in the ancient ones would that's where they did their initiations, was at this Birthplace of the Gods. And so he sent us there to do our initiation. And so we explored all these seven centers that were within that Birthplace of the Gods. And when I left him, he gave me this stone called a punamu, which is a jade from New Zealand. It's their own natural stone that is indigenous to New Zealand. And he gave me a piece, and he gave it to me, and he said, "I'm giving this to you not just because this is the stone of love and peace and harmony. I'm giving this to you because of its shape." And he said, "I want you to know wherever you see this shape in nature, it is put there by the gods. And it's a very important place." And at Monument Valley, there is a formation there that is like that. And so I know that it was placed there by the gods.
So what's this form?
It looks, let's see, it looks like a U. It's you know the god Nut, Egyptian god Nut, that looks like
the
a
one
U.
Who bends her back over to be the knight.
Looks like a U. Yeah. Well, that's the form of it.
An arch.
It's a very, you know, but I've seen it in three places that I've traveled to so far. Monument Valley, Mount Shasta, the Craigs in Mount Shasta. There's a formation in the Craigs that is exactly in the formation of that stone. And when I went to southern France, I was on my journey to find the Magdalene vibration, because Mary Magdalene's very entrenched in the culture and everything in southern France, and there's Rennes Le Chateau. And at the time, William Henry does a lot of tours to France with people and to Rennes Le Chateau, because he always talks about the blue apples and Mary Magdalene, and he's always talking about stargates. And his work is fascinating, so if people don't know him, they should check him out. His work is kind of interesting and fascinating. He's done a lot of research. He was doing a tour there, and my girlfriend is his event coordinator. And my other friend and I wanted to go to France, and we wanted to do our own thing, but we wanted to kind of like be involved with the tour but not be part of the tour. So my the woman who was putting it on told us we could do that, and I could do massage for the participants of the workshop that they were doing over there in France. So my girlfriend and I got rented a car, and we were going down to Rennes Le Chateau, where William was going to be leading people on this group at tour of Rennes Le Chateau. And so we were in the car, and we were staying at this chateau. And we had directions to this chateau that had been from the computer, and we brought them with us, and we were looking for the chateau that was very near Rennes-le-Château to stay in, and we were staying with two other people there. And we drove, and as we were driving, I could feel the energy. I'm very sensitive to energy, and I felt the energy start to shift, and I said, oh my gosh, Kathy, we're somewhere very close. I said, this is like, whatever's here, this is like very powerful. The energy is just so powerful here. And I turned to look, and there to my left was a mountain in the shape of that form. And I told Kathy the story, and I said, this is a place of the gods. The gods put that there. This is a major, major place. And so as we started climbing, and we never did ever get to that chateau. We ended up in a city called Rennes-le-Bain. And we rented a place in Rennes-le-Bain. And there was this little river creek flowing through it. They had hot water there, hot mineral baths there. And there was this little creek, and we were out in this adjoining balconies. The two of us had adjoining rooms. And we went out, and I said, let's see if we can bring any star beings in tonight. And so I started toning, because they're very responsive to the sound. And this little kind of Tinkerbell kind of image appeared in the sky and started, you know, communicating with us. Kathy's not too sure. She still doesn't believe that she saw it, but she was getting communication from it. So, you know, you tell me whether she saw it or not. I don't know. But anyhow, it was definitely there, and it was just the most lighthearted little being. I have contact all the time, but this was a very unique, wonderful little being that was communicating with us. And it kept flitting in the sky, and it would move from one place to another, but when it would go through this certain place, there would be no light. Its light would leave. You wouldn't see it. And I knew it was giving us some kind of guidance or directions and communication. And I kept looking at the sky, and both of us at the very same time said, oh my God, there's a crease in the sky. It's like a stargate. I mean, portals, I think, are different than stargates, but it was like this stargate or portal in the sky. And so it only made sense, of course, that when I saw that rock, that this was what was put there by the gods. And so that the next day when we were driving down, and I could see it differently, driving down the mountain, there were two of those structures. They looked exactly the same, and they formed a gate. It was just phenomenal. And they have a lot of UFO activity down in the south of France and over the Pyrenees, so I'm sure there's a stargate there, because that little being was pointing it out to us.
Splitting the sky. Well, that sounds exactly like... Oh, that was cool. Anyway...
I don't know what any of this has to do with sound, but...
Well, you know, it's...
They're fun stories, for sure.
This is how you got there. So, look, okay, let's focus it a bit. One of the things that we spoke about on the pre-show conversation, I was talking to Nikki, and she slept through the whole thing. But as far as she's concerned, I walked out and I walked back in again. Right? As far as she remembers, I walked out the room, then I walked back in again, and It was like several hours had passed. But as far as she's concerned, anyway. So during this moment, we had a conversation, and we spoke of many, many things. So one of the things that I was interested in is a demonstration of the sound. Now, our guests are very used to sound healing. We have Rachel Ledbetter, who's been a guest on Journeys before, and is a regular on Frank Jordan's healing show, which is just after the show. So we're very used to the healing that that she does. Everybody's got their own unique style.
Yes.
And so we will be able to recognize certain aspects and maybe feel new ones. And listen up, everybody.
I know that I sent you some pictures, and you said you were going to upload those onto your website.
I did.
And I would love people to look at those pictures, because one of the things that my sound does is it dissolves the dimension, and you actually move through the dimension into another dimension. Now, you're not everybody's conscious of that happening, but it is always happening when I tone, because the sounds that I do open the portals to the higher consciousness. And if you are ready and if you are willing, it activates what science calls the junk DNA, and it activates that, which helps to activate the magic that lives inside of you. Now, I can do the sounds until I'm blue in the face, but unless you're ready and you agree and you are open to having this happen, I know that magic is always happening, but the full effect of it may not be realized unless you're very, very receptive and willing to let it happen. And so those pictures are there, and you can see them. I'm doing a sound healing in Mount Shasta in those pictures, in one set of those pictures. And you see I dissolve and I kind of move out into the I go interdimensionally out, and then an aspect of my beingness, it's a black form, is moving in to work with me to do the healing that I do. And that's all an aspect of me and my higher consciousness that you're seeing. Okay, so are we still connected?
Yeah, that's the show page that I've just pasted into the chat room now. I pasted in the main chat room as well at bullspiritradio.com/listen.
So if everybody's ready, it would be a very good idea for everybody to take just a very deep, deep breath and bring that life force energy up from your first chakra all the way up into your lungs. Expand your lungs with that life force energy, and then exhale your breath. And as you exhale your breath, you're actually releasing any energies that no longer serve you. Any tension, any stress, any anxieties. So just continue to take deep breaths, bringing the breath into your lungs, the life force energy, and exhaling any energy that no longer serves you, exhaling that into the ethers so that it can be transmuted to a higher vibration of its own. And just keep doing this breath, and with each breath you take, your body becomes more receptive, more relaxed, and more open to receiving the frequencies of the sound. So you might want to set an intention of something you'd like to create, something you might want to heal, something that needs healing. So set your intention for this sound and just receive the frequencies and keep breathing. Ooh. Whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes and bring yourself back into this dimension, back into your body. Just continue to breathe. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Should we take some musical breaks? If you would like to, if you're listening, would like to call in and comment on this, tell us what you felt. I'm going to play some music right now. This track is called Green Road. I think I'm playing bass on this, it was posted at the same time as Nikki posted, or I discovered it at the same time as Nikki posted the latest Crop Circle, which was from Green Street. So there's this Green Road, Green Street thing. Anyway, this is the theme tune that I'm using for my new show on Thursdays as well. So, we'll be back in a wee while. Call in if you like. 775-773-3431. The number's all over WallSpiritRadio.com. And you can call in and share what your experience of that. I have something that I will share afterwards. But for the moment, enjoy the quirky saxophone of Mara Luke. Green Road. Thank you. No problem. And welcome back to Ever Beyond. Tonight, my guest, Mary Electra. Some cool sounds. That was cool sounds. This was a. I think we recorded this shortly, probably in 2000 or thereabouts. That last piece, when I was playing with the jazz band called Luke Mara. It was. I don't know. They were a band. They came and jammed with me. So everybody came to jam with me in my studio. In the last show, they were talking about, you know, I respond to people. So I stayed in the same place, and lots of different people came to see me, and we made music every week. There I learned several things. One of them is, you know, if you do something the same time every week, magic happens.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Well, by the way, I love that piece.
Nice, wasn't it? Very, very, very chilled out.
Yeah.
I got like thousands of hours of this stuff. Some of it wasn't that nice. Some of it was, it's Scotland on a Friday night, you know, and, people die. It's like people, it was very lucky that, you know, nobody died that night. But, you know, it was a good place for them to express that energy rather than go out and hurt someone. So it was better. So welcome back. So I'm getting, there's a message from Nikki here saying that had a nice resonance. So my experience of your sound, I very specifically felt it in, it was almost like there were two sections of my throat, like an upper and a lower part, and then in occipital point, alto major center. It felt like a kind of bottle brush, just kind of
doing a little clearing for you.
Yeah, that sort of thing, like a pipe cleaner, you know, kind of. And that was my experience of it. It was not unpleasant, but you know, not. it's tickly. Anyway, so let's see. That's what Rich is saying. He's saying, "All right, okay, no." Rich is saying something completely other than the topic, right? Okay, thanks, Oz. Anyway, if anybody would like to call in and talk to our guest Mary, we have telephone lines 775-773-3431 in the UK. You can call 0141-356-4141. And these numbers are written all over the website. Down on the right there it says call in when live. I make it so easy for you. You can call the Skype number. There's a button. You can click to call with Skype. That's if you got it set up. Anyway.
Oh, so people on their computers that are listening from the States can call you on Skype.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well, it's all done using the Skype network. So, thank you, Bill Gates, for buying Skype and ruining it. Anyway, Skype used to be brilliant. PayPal used to be great. eBay was good. Anyway, everything dies. Meanwhile. Go ahead.
If there are any U.S. people listening in the California area, I'm doing a workshop, a phenomenal workshop, on the 17th, 18th, and 19th in Boulder Creek, California. And it's Tantra Awakening with Sound, or Tantra Sound Awakening, I think is what it's called. I should get the name right, but it's Tantra Sound Awakening. And they can go to www.alchemyinactionsacredjourneys.com and it'll give you information about that workshop. But it's a retreat workshop that's for 3 days. And if anybody's in the area and are interested, give me a call, because I know that the perfect people are out there waiting to come to the workshop. So give me a call. That's all I wanted to say.
Give us a call anyway. I won't.
Well, give us a call anyway, but I mean, if you're interested in the workshop. And also, if you want, I have CDs. If anybody wants any of my, I have a CD that's on sale at cdbaby.com.
Do they all connect from your website?
I have a website that you can go to and buy and purchase things from, and that's www.maryelector.com. However, that site has not been upgraded since my web person passed over. So I don't know how to go in and change anything. So I built Alchemy in Action Sacred Journeys so that I could post more current things that are happening in my world. And someday I'll find somebody that'll help me with the Mary Electra site.
Well, is it a WordPress site?
No, it's not. We built it with HTML. It was built with HTML. It was kind of before WordPress was around.
Okay.
So, if it were WordPress, I could do it because I know. I mean, my Alchemy in Action was built in WordPress. It's a WordPress blog site, but I don't know how to change it because I believe he used Dreamweaver, which I don't even know is in use anymore. But I think that's what he built it with.
All right. Okay. Well, maybe we'll talk. I might be able to help with either finding someone or just being long story. So back on to you can get to Mary's site. Where is it? Can you get to Mary's site from here? Watch Mary's video. That takes you to the YouTube. I'll just maryelectro.com is the link, but it seems to be not working there, so I'll fix that. Anyway, things always just go completely crazy.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's all the way to be, no matter what it is. By the way, there's also a series of pictures on that I sent you. It's in a little strip. And those are pictures of the sound of my sound that I toned into a water bottle and sent to the Emoto Labs in Japan to be evaluated, for my sound to be evaluated. And I think if you look at those pictures, you'll see exactly what's happening in a body when the sound goes in, because it's breaking up any kind of diseased molecules. It's reforming them and rebuilding them and making them into a... you see it. I mean, it's kind of interesting. And I asked for that when I toned into the water. I asked if Spirit would please give me a visual of what's happening in the body when I'm toning for people. What came back were those pictures. And then there's this amazing video. I sent you a link to the trailer for that video on water, the mysteries of water. It's so amazing. But I haven't gotten to hear all of it because a friend of mine was sharing it with me, and then the internet crashed, and we didn't finish the video, and I can't find it right now. I can't find that video. I found the trailer, but I have to find the full video. When we were watching it, I understood how the water could hold the memory of what was happening to that molecule as the sound was passing through it. And that's how, because of my intention, that's how the Emoto Labs were able to capture those pictures of what's actually happening to a diseased molecule when it's being toned. I thought that was pretty cool. That video, if you've heard of it, you know, I'd recommend it. It's amazing. The water is just one of the most amazing things on the planet. It's very magical.
Yeah, it's interesting. Nobody's ever seen a single molecule of water.
No.
And I think water likes to go in strings. It likes to go in twisted rope form. That's its favorite sort of way of being. And because if you do a splash, that's what it does. It kind of all twists together. And have you come across structured water? I had Clayton Nolte on the show maybe last year sometime. Structured water is water that as it comes down a stream, it gets spun to the left and spun to the right.
Right.
And it has this fractal thing going on. And that brings it to life. It's got the fractal.
Yes.
So Yeah, so that's they call that structured water. You've probably got a different word for it, but you know, they know what we're talking about. Alive water.
It's alive. Yes, and when you're drinking water out of a bottle, if the bottle has some kind of curvature, it's better, because then when you're moving it back and forth, it's flowing, that the curvature of the bottle helps the water to have a flow so that it's in motion, and that you're, and then you're drinking a fluid water, like, or whatever you called it, structured water. So that's interesting to think about too.
Yes, indeed. Actually, this your maryelectra.com. Yeah.
It's.
Yeah, that wouldn't.
That's my formal website, but it's the one I can't change. It's very outdated.
All right. Well, that's not much. That wouldn't be difficult to do. To say. You know, to reproduce something like that. Anyway, that's another that's another conversation that we don't have on air.
No.
But you know, let's just go on. Let's see if there's just check the chat room here to see if anybody's had air. Okay, you will. All right. Okay. Strange messages.
Don't tell me anything bad.
I'm not. No, there's nothing at all, Leslie. Like, is anybody awake in there? Let's see.
Everybody's asleep.
Let's join hands and contact the living. Have you got one to wake them up? Have you got an anti throng thing?
I don't know if I do.
give them a frequency that'll kick their up. You know.
My laughter should be doing it, though. I mean, my laughter should be waking everybody up.
Good, good. Right. Well, let's keep telling the jokes. Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. But but anyway, there's no activity in the chat room at all?
Well, but apart from old ones, who's smiling? I don't know where everybody is, but we got a goodly audience here. So maybe everybody has zoned out. It was such a lovely tune. So Mary,
yes.
We were going to take questions. So if anybody's got any questions in the chat room, you can throw them in the chat room. Put them in uppercase in all caps so that I can easily see them. Even though I've now got reading glasses and I can see the chat room a little bit better. Yeah, have you got a note for my eyeballs?
I'm curious about how you ask questions, listen to me, and follow the chat room all at the same time. How do you do that?
I'm dyslexic.
That's how?
Apparently.
So you have to be dyslexic to multitask like that?
That's the problem with dyslexia, is that you're actually trying to monotask, but your brain is multitasking. That's Nancy's definition, and I'm happy with that.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought dyslexic, did you say dyslexic, right? Was when you read things backwards and saw things jumbled.
Yeah, well, I get, you know what I get? Here's another, I'm just so strange, right? I always think I'm just such a normal, average person, right? Like, I keep discovering that I'm, like, slightly strange. But anyway, yeah. Almost imperceptibly strange, which is strange. Anyway, strange enough to fit in, but look, I've got a form of dyslexia. I'm not kidding. I have a form of dyslexia that, on a verbal level, prevents me from following orders. I can't remember things that people tell me. And you know what? My wife discovered it when I was married. Do you remember I told you I was divorced, right? Before that point, right? My wife was
slapping you.
She thought I was
like selective hearing or something.
Kind of like no. What it is? I mean, she used to just bark a list of stuff at me. Go get this, that, this, that, this, that. What? You know. And even though I'd spent years practicing memory techniques, and you know, I was joking with Nikki the other week about, you know, how to do a memory technique, and I've done all these things. You know, if she told me to go and get like 10 items, I would only come back with 7 of them, because I can remember, you know. So yeah, so then she would write me lists and pin lists up, and it got insane, you know, it got really insane. Anyway, we had a child together, and later on, after we'd divorced, and, you know, he grew up and went to school and was having trouble at school, and like, turns out he's dyslexic.
Oh, good.
And it comes from someone. And it can't be from me, darling. You know, so it's got to be Daddy-O. So apparently Daddy-O's got a special kind of dyslexia. I'm a special kind of special, very special, high functioning special. And anyway, so my son's got this, he's got dyslexia, and the government give him computers. It's wonderful. It's really cool. He gets free Macintoshes. It's just incredible. They give him things. His name's Joseph, right? And that's the way, you know, because that's what Joseph means. It means God will give.
Oh my gosh! I didn't know that. That's what Joseph meant.
God will add.
God,
you know, so
God will give. That's really good.
Yeah. Well, God will add. You know, because God gives, or God's gift is Yah Natan, which is Jonathan. So John's, you know, you ever met a guy called John? I bet everybody's met a guy called John. Everybody's met several guys called John.
Yeah.
Every time they call up, they say, "Oh, it's John." "Oh, hello, which John?" "It's John." "Yeah, which John?" Every John thinks that they're the only John in the world.
Yes.
I'm not kidding. It's really true. True story. Anyway, long story. Here we go. So we managed to coax the chat room to respond here. So let me Dolly's barely awake, but the meditation, the tone of the meditation relaxed her a whole bunch.
Good.
Yeah. And Dolly's having trouble staying seated in the chair. My body wants to lie down and zone out completely. Oh.
I'd like to share what was happening for me when I was doing the sound. When I was doing the sound, I could feel the open reception that people were giving to the sound. And there, it went to a very deep core level of many of the people that were listening to it. It was like very deep. And it was as if no one wanted to come back. Everybody wanted to stay where they were. And I hesitated even saying anything because I left us in silence for some time, but I don't know that that's what radio is all about.
That's all right. We have dead air that we collect. We make collections.
So anyway, I left us in silence, when I came back and I brought you back into your bodies, or I made a statement which would bring you back into your bodies. I hesitated a lot to do that because no one was wanting to stay, and my hands and my body were vibrating, so there it was, whatever was transmitting through me, it was very, very powerful. So those people receiving it were receiving a really powerful transmission, and not very many of the people who were listening wanted to leave wherever they had gone. It was a place. And maybe they needed to be there for a while, and maybe they're still there. I don't know, because nobody really wanted to come back to the show. And it wasn't because the sound was bad. It was just they are in another place. That's what it felt like. So that was my experience of what was happening.
Excellent. Well, Debrielle, who was Carla Healer, was a guest on the show a couple of weeks ago. Her arms tingled and seemed to disappear for a bit. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yellow ray, she says.
Oh. Interesting. So she experienced the yellow ray. Can we ask her what that means to her?
I'm sure. Now, we've got a two-minute delay between now and the time that Debrielle will hear this. But you can call in if you like, Deb. You know the number. Just call in the regular number and should be all right. Yeah, she's great. She's a color healer, so she sees colors and all sorts of things when when she gets sounds. So that would be a really cool thing, a full spectrum healer conference. So we have color healers, sound healers, vibrational healers. You know, that would be an interesting thing to bring
together. Deborah, just to let you know, it's been reported to me because I really don't. When I'm toning, I feel, but I don't necessarily hear what I'm doing, and I certainly don't see. But it's been reported that when the sounds come through me, they come in colors, so that when the frequencies are going into someone's body, that also it's going in colors, and different kind of colors. And apparently, people have reported pretty much the same description of the colors, that they're shimmering and not of this world, but they have some kind of a shimmer or sheen or shine to them that is not of this dimension. It doesn't fit any of their patterns of color that they've seen in this dimension. So anyhow, I'd be curious if you had any kind of experience like that, because those are things that have been reported back to me. But I feel that probably, since everyone's reporting the same information back or using the same kind of descriptions, that it's probably real, that the colors are coming through in that fashion.
Well, there's definitely correspondences between frequencies, sounds, and colors. In a very direct way, but also there's the indirect, because like the difference between light and pigment, one is the inverse of the other. Like you mix the colors in a different way to get a different color. There is like the inside sound and the outside manifested sound. Actually, we were talking earlier on the show previous about the human design movement, which is they take your birth chart, but also your conception chart. So they do your chart for 9 months before you're born, which might be like the inside and the outside.
It'd be 10 months before you're born, because there's your conception is like, it takes a month for it to. So a full term would be 10 months from point of conception, I think. That's what I've been told.
So, there is a direct correspondence between color and frequency.
Yes.
And this is part of the whole, it's part of the whole quest is to discover this specific correspondence. Now, it's in parts all over the place. You know, there is one correspondence here and another correspondence there, and it's quite a quest indeed to bring all the correspondences together. Something is going to happen. I'm sure somebody's going to do it for me. But there's the sevens and there's the twelves, and they all correspond, as we were talking before in the conversation. One of these things is, you know, we were talking about this Council of Twelve that Nikki's bringing together. What's your relationship with the whole 12, the 10-2 thing and all that stuff?
Well, I don't have any direct consciousness. I don't have that kind of input that Nikki has or or connection to beings that impart to me that kind of information. But I know people who have, and I know what resonates with me is truth. And my understanding is that there are 12, there are 12 different galaxies or star systems who came to Earth and seeded Earth in various places. And that's why when I said in Mount Shasta, I believe it was one of the places seeded. I believe that the Monument Valley, the Pyrenees, and those places, that those are some of the places that were seeded by these star beings who came here and prepared Earth for us to be able to inhabit it as beings in a physical form. So, and the density of Earth is, oh, it turns anything that's light into form, actually, because of the density here. It's impossible to vibrate at the frequency of your light beingness when you're in this dimension. So, and I, when I was in Mount Shasta, with one of the groups I have taken there, we had a visitation by the Council of Twelve, which apparently hangs out in Mount Shasta. And there were these wonderful orbs. There were 12 orbs. And then the violet flame came down in front of them. And it was interesting because we were doing work with the violet flame that day, that the Council of Twelve and the violet flame appeared. But you'll see the repeatedness of 12, like the 12 tribes and the 12 signs of the zodiac. 12 is a number that's repeated and it's pretty sacred from my understanding.
Yeah, because I mean the whole quest at the moment is that there are 12 different races that contributed 12 qualities that came from 12 directions and all of these 12s, but they all focus in on certain qualities that have been removed from us. It's like we've been disconnected from them. It's the task seems to be to pull them back down again. They've been kind of tied up in a knot at the top of our heads, so we can't reach them.
And that's what I would consider to probably be the what science calls the junk DNA, the strands of, because there's 64 strands of DNA, they say. And out of the 64 strands that you have, there's only, I believe, 18 that are activated, 18 of the strands, leaving the rest of the strands to do who knows what. So that's why science has called them junk. So what you're talking about might be those strands of DNA that need activation. And once they're activated, they connect to their higher consciousness. And they're no longer dormant. And so I think you might be talking about just bringing some dormant energy alive when you're talking about these 10 different strands.
Well, yeah.
You're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, recycling the junk to be useful stuff, or what people consider junk to be gold. We're joined by Debrielle from the chat room now, and where are you? You're in Seattle, aren't you, Deb?
Hey, how are you two? Nice to meet you, Mary, and hello, JP.
And nice meeting you as well.
You're in California also?
Yes, I am.
Okay, me too. I'm out here too.
Where are you in California?
I'm in Ojai.
Oh my goodness. Do you know Laura Eisenhower and Mark Peebler? They live down there.
Okay, say the names again. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Laura Eisenhower and Dr. Dream.
Oh, I love Laura. I don't know them. I've just heard them talk, and I know people that know them. But no, I haven't met them yet. I love them.
Because they live down in, near Ojai. So.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Yours. Well, I'm loving the show, loving it. I got really excited when you talked about that little fairy energy or sprite energy that appeared. I got real excited. But whatever. I'm sorry there was a misunderstanding when I said the yellow ray. The main thing I saw, they did fill it in the solar plexus, and then my arms tingled and disappeared, like went numb. They didn't hurt. And I did not want to come back either. But when I was seeing the yellow ray, which would be that area where I was feeling with, I had meant that for JP's dyslexia form, that he can do all those weird things at once. I just felt that was part of his yellow ray. But, but it was interesting. So I just wanted to clarify that. So I'm sorry for that confusion.
Well, that's okay. So you weren't seeing color, but you were experiencing the sound.
I'm sorry, it's not very clear. What again?
I said you weren't seeing the colors, but you...
No. I was just feeling. It was in what would be the yellow area, but no, I did not see any colors during that. Yeah, so I just wanted to call in and clarify that. Sorry about that.
don't be sorry. It's all wonderful. It's wonderful that you're on the phone and you're talking and... It's nice to have other people join us, so that's cool.
Oh, yeah, really enjoying it. But I'll let you two get back to what you're doing, and I'll just listen.
Deb, do you not have a question?
Do I have a question?
You've got about 10,000, I know. So
yeah, I know. You know how I am. I made notes already on everything. But I liked you were talking about human design and Sirius and Lemurian Atlantis and Tom Kenyon, who I love. And, yeah, but no questions, just fascinated.
You were so good, Jay. Nobody has any questions.
We're just loving it. I'm loving it anyway.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. That's great.
That's great. Okay, I'm gonna go.
Okay, thanks a lot, Deb. Bless your heart. Speak to you soon. Bye now.
Okay, bye.
See, we're doing a good job. Nobody has any questions.
There we go. All the questions are being answered even before people think of them. That's the kind of level that we're here at Wolf Spirit Radio. We are so driven by the Spirit, we know about things before you even think that you need to know. What they are. That's how ahead we are.
That's right. And so so it is the place to be on Sunday night.
Yeah.
It's my Monday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon for you.
It's my Sunday afternoon and your Monday night.
That's right.
And Australia's
No. Well, no. Sunday night. Here. Yeah, Sunday midnight.
And Australia's Monday morning.
That's right. It's a rather kind of dreary Monday morning in Australia because
it's. Is it really?
It's winter. You know, it's.
Oh, that's right.
It's June. Right. It's June. It's like Scotland. Scotland. Winter in Australia is like Scotland in summer. It's
really?
Just.
It's
yeah, like I'd say, you know, it's just like.
I didn't know that.
You wouldn't notice.
Of course, I haven't, you know, I got deported from Australia, so what do I know?
Exactly. Yeah, maybe they're there. No, but it was really funny, you know, anyway. So, yes, then of course, here we go. Here's Nikki saying, the 12 relate to the 12 dimensions and senses. Because she's been doing a show called Awakening the Senses, Awakening the Stars Within, which is relating to Rudolf Steiner's... analysis of the 12 inner senses. He calls 12, he has, that we have 12 inner senses. So she's been doing a show on about that.
Yes.
I should have been a used car salesman. Would you buy a used car off me? I couldn't sell a car.
Who said you should be a used car salesman?
This is Colleen saying, this is my number one. I don't know what's going on here. We're going to have words.
She's saying you should be a used car salesman. Is that true?
I know. I would.
How she could ever get to that?
I would ruin the business. I would destroy the business if you relied on me trying to sell anybody anything. You'd destroy the business.
I have to tell you, you're not an American car salesman, used or otherwise. I can tell you that for sure. You'd never make it as a used car salesman in America, for sure.
No, I definitely wouldn't. I think maybe she's being a little we'll have some words. So anyway, in the final 15 of the 2 hours.
Oh my God!
Interesting. I mean, we've gone in the world. Now, what was the bit that I wanted you to talk? Yeah, the Atlantis Lemuria thing about North and South Island. That's a fascinating thing.
When I was in the North Island, there were just waves of violet energy just coursing over me all the time. And when I went to the South Island, it was so funny. We took the ferry over, and I'm laying there, and it was a night ferry that we were on, so it's very early in the morning, and of course, I got no sleep on the ferry, and we're driving, and all of a sudden, I closed my eyes, because my friend said he would drive. So I took over the passenger seat and closed my eyes, and floods of orange gold, very shimmering orange gold light started flooding over me. And I knew that's the Atlantean, that was the Atlantean energy. And so, it's amazing that these two islands live in the harmony that they live in their frequencies come together in a harmonic way, but it's just interesting. It's fascinating to me that it's fascinating to me. And those are two of my favorite colors, that orange kind of orange gold kind of color and lavender and purple.
It's very interesting, you know. Right at the moment, I'm messing about with a it's called RGB, red, green, blue, LED.
Yeah.
Each one like a pixel.
Right.
So basically, I've got one enormous pixel in my bedroom, and I've got a little remote control that can change the color of it.
Uh-huh.
Now, these are nothing new, but what I've been doing is I've been muscle checking, dousing, what's the appropriate color for the frequency. And the ones that I've been getting are violet and gold.
Oh, very cool.
Because they're on the same level on the little remote controller.
Yeah.
They're like, there's violet, it's like, there's the, where does it go? The red, the green, and the blue, and they're both second from the bottom on the left and on the right. So it's an interesting that they may, you know, be part of the sort of color wheel thing. But, that's a really interesting thing. That's the Lemurian and Atlantean frequencies.
Yeah.
So, that's also very interesting because that's the color that, I chose when Nikki and I were sitting talking last night, because I'm getting violet all the time for me, but right. when Nikki was there, I said, you know, what's best for our relationships? And I got a gold, so that was very interesting. Do you remember that?
Wow, that is really cool. That's really cool, and now we're talking about it today. Yeah, New Zealand was just an amazing journey for me. Well, actually, all the journeys that I've been on have been amazing. You know, I want to tell your listening audience that one of these days, maybe Nikki and Jay will put together a trip for Scotland, and I'll come over and we'll go around Scotland and do some sound awakening in Scotland, because I've been getting information that there's a lot of little messages and wisdom that's being stored there that needs to be activated and unlocked. And I think it would be just so much fun to go on a little trip there and do that. And so maybe we'll figure out a way of doing that.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I've just posted my in the chat room the my bedroom is what it looks like when you're when the light is lighting up the wall in violet. It's just I have these ideas that I get, and I think I want to have that, and then like I was saying, you know, the materials will eventually they'll arrive in my lap. Or I I might be presented with them cheap or something like that. You know, this is more or less arriving in my life because they have to be cheap because I can't afford anything. Anyway, so they were very very cheap to get to obtain these things, and I think it's a very interesting healing experiment, and I think it would be a very interesting. The next part is to be able to pulse them with frequencies, and also to blend the light in very specific terms, you know, not just the general bunch of characters, a bunch of buttons that they got there, but to be more specific and make more interesting connections.
Are you from Holotrap?
Now, that's this really weird kind of sound. No.
No. It's this computerized thing that you need a screen, a big screen, and a mandala, the most ancient mandala ever discovered, is on this screen. And then you send sound. You can play any kind of music, or I've toned into a microphone. And this mandala starts changing colors based on the frequencies that it's receiving. And it is amazing. I mean, it's a little bit more sophisticated than listening. You know how on the computer you could put sound on it and it would have all those color things that, you know, it would flash, you know, like different colors and everything in different forms and stuff based on the frequencies that it was hearing. But that was kind of it wasn't that sophisticated as this machine is. And a friend of mine has one, and so we've played around with it, and you can just go into these very deep meditations using the sound and this mandala. And this mandala is changing, you know, its colors and forms, kind of like a kaleidoscope, as the sound is moving through it. It's just phenomenal. And this guy here, my friend, it's his friend who designed that. Are you familiar with Bashar?
Bashar, yes, why do they all like swash? They all speak like Errol Flynn just before a sword fight. Yeah, hi! Sorry.
Bashar uses this in his workshops. At the end of the workshop, he shows this mandala form and plays a song, and people have like a meditative experience with his holotrop. I'm not saying it correctly, so I shouldn't be bastardizing it like this. Because I really don't know how to say it, but it's just an amazing kind of thing, and it's all color and stuff. And I enjoyed doing it because I was toning into a microphone and watching the different colors and formations of the mandala as I was toning, and I was able to get the mandala to go purple, which is not a very easy thing to do, to get to that frequency and so. It didn't sustain itself long, but cool, because the frequency for purple is really high. So, but anyway, that's my little color story. It's kind of
Hendrix
like,
High Deep Purple Haze.
Yeah,
that's how high you have to be.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's up there in the, you know, it's like, isn't that the highest? You know, that's not the seventh chakra color is, I guess,
people would need to be, it was probably because of the people around you that you couldn't get there.
Now what?
Probably because of the level of, you know, the people around you couldn't have handled the frequency.
No, you know, actually, I've been told that I can tone, and that stones and rocks can receive a higher dimensional frequency than people. So the highest dimension of frequency that a person can actually absorb is a seventh level dimension. But stones and crystals and water and stuff, they can absorb the 12 dimensional frequencies.
Well, and not that that's handy. Listen, we got 2 minutes left.
Not that many people can absorb the seventh dimensional frequency. So I'm basically generally toning. I'm toning fifth, sixth, and seventh. That's what I'm. Those are the frequencies that I tone.
Well, do you fancy toning us out?
I would love to tone you out. That would be. It's time. Have we taken up 2 hours of time already?
We have dimensionally slipped. We've dropped through a dimensional tear in space time that has gently deposited us in the near future.
Well, Jay, let me tell you, I've had a delight. If anybody wants to contact me, they can contact me at maryelectra@yahoo.com. That's my email address, maryelectra@yahoo.com. And they can visit me on Alchemy in Action Sacred Journeys.com, and that's where the information for my website, for my upcoming workshop is. And only 6 people can come, so there's not that many more spaces left. And if anybody is interested in sound healings or anything else, if you contact me, I do those by phone. I do them by Skype. And I give you like a little personal reading and a healing with the sound. So now I'll tone everybody out. And thank you so much for the opportunity to be on your show.
Oh, really, thank you very much. It's been a delight. It's been a delight. Thank you very much.
Okay, so let's
take it away.
Everybody breathe down. Just breathe very deeply like we did before. Bring that breath from the first chakra up into your lungs, expanding your lungs. And as you exhale, your body releases any energy that no longer serves you. And just prepare your body to be open and ready for the frequencies. And just breathe through the sound experience. Breathing in the sound and the frequencies of the sound.
Mary Electra. We'll see you all next week. Catch me tomorrow on Journeys with JP at about this time on Wall Spirit Radio. I'll be speaking with Lucy Thomas about family constellations. Let's go beyond.